Sydney in the early 80s was just wonderful. Coming from early 80s Brisbane, this place seemed like New York. It was a real city with cool people. And by cool people, I meant people that weren't complete assholes. In Brisbane, I was still this awkward kid dragging my childhood and past around with me. But moving to Sydney, I had a clean slate and everybody responded to me differently. It really felt like I was starting my life over again. I was no longer in a place where everyone was spitting or sneering at me. I'm not saying that what happened in Brisbane wasn't important. All that struggle helped make me what I am today. A deeply scarred psychopath with anger management issues? Just kidding. But in Sydney, I found an acceptance and a respect I'd never known before. Everyone I met in Sydney at that time, I love all those people to this day. Those people embraced me. I was this punk kid, new to town. But there was none of that "you're that dickhead kid" I'd always get in Brisbane. In Sydney, I was a 17-year-old singer with a fresh start in a rock and roll band. Sydney circa 1982 was humming. There are so many venues in the outer suburbs as well as a really healthy inner city underground scene. People look at me like I'm from another planet when I say that a band could play 5 or 6 nights a week in Sydney. There were suburban venues and scenes everywhere, and so many other places all over the city. And around the centre of Sydney was just magnificent. The epicentres of the alternative underground scene were the Southern Cross Hotel, which later became the Strawberry Hills Hotel, was run by this cool old guy, well, he seemed old to me, called Ron Ordas. And he had help from his son Gary. It was a small place, but pretty much every local and interstate band I wanted to see played there. Music was performed 7 nights a week, and it was free to get in, I think. The Trade Union Club, the Trades on Favreau Street, was indie rock central. I ended up playing there many, many times. Everyone went to the Trades. You joined up, got a badge, and went crazy. The place was open till 7 a.m. Bands were on the top floor, which held several hundred people. Then on the middle floor, they had cabaret and pool tables, and on the ground floor, that was for pokies and serious all-night drinking. This is where you ended up after floors 2 and 3 had closed down for the night. Tex Deadly and the Dum Dums played all over Sydney. In the early days, we were unprepared for the effect we had on people. We were a little irreverent, and I don't know if a lot of people knew how to take us. The truth was, we weren't asking to be taken seriously. Spectacle and humour were more important to us than good songs and great playing. So in those first few months in Sydney, the few people who came and saw us thought, what the fuck are they on about? That was summed up by one gig I will always remember at this place in the middle of the city, just off Pitt Street. There's a shopping arcade that runs through to George Street called the Strand Arcade. And downstairs was a really popular nightclub at the time called Stranded. We were the support slot for the Scientists. So I'm leaving the stage after our set and making my way to the band room when this fellow steps in front of me and screams, "I hate you! I hate your band! You made a mockery of everything I love about music! Fuck you!" Then he stormed off. When I get back to the band room, everyone looks up to me and says, "What did Dave Faulkner say to you?" "Who's Dave Faulkner?" "The guy from the Hoodoo Gurus. They're the biggest band around." "Oh, him. He loves us." Dave was probably the most hysterical reaction we got, but it was not altogether uncommon. Were Tex Deadly and the Dum Dums for real? Was this a joke band? No one could get their head around the fact that I seemed to be right into what I was doing, but taking the piss at the same time. Affectionate disrespect was a difficult concept in the post-punk scene. The first time I met Kim Salmon, then fronting the Scientists, he approached me, not aggressively or condescendingly, but genuinely curious as to whether we were serious or not. I couldn't tell him. I'd never thought about it. Sometimes we play a support set for one of the bigger bands on the scene, like the Johnnies or the Cockroaches or the All Nighters, when they ventured out into the suburbs. At these beer barns, the beer cans were thrown so often when Tex Deadly and the Dum Dums were on, we grew to hardly notice them. One night I said to the crowd, "Hey, look, throwing cans is one thing. But if you really hate us, throw money. A 50-cent piece could really hurt." Ha ha. Ha ha, went the band. Good one, Tex. Next thing, coins of all denominations are hurled at the stage with vicious intent. We played two more songs in a hail of shrapnel and then split. The rest of the band were not happy, but we made an extra $47 that night.